We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you. This is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the word he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances. And of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Welcome to Prophetic Utterance with Pastor Caris E. Amirels.
Ezekiel 37. Very quickly, Ezekiel 37. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. David the psalmist says, I rejoice at your word like one that has found a great treasure, a great spoil. Hallelujah. All right, we'll read 1 to 8. I'll get into sharing God's word briefly in this first service, and then we'll get ready for second service. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the word of God. Do you love the word of God? Say it, I love the word of God. You know, my eyes fell on something yesterday that touched me, that didn't leave me the same. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 4. You can put it up for me. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4. And see, it became dear to me. And became important to me. Why? You can go back to 1 Corinthians. Yeah. Why we enjoy the word of God. Romans chapter 5, sorry. Romans 10 verse 4, not 1 Corinthians. Why the word of God is so important. I became more grateful for the scriptures. I became more grateful for the word of God. And I want you to know that, you see, when we share God's word, when we interact with the word of God, when we encourage you to put your gaze on God's word, we know what we're talking about. God knew that we'll be in the world of trouble. The Bible says Jesus came to save us from this evil world, this present evil world. A lot is going on in the world today. But the Father knew the world will be faced with. And he was aware that he will not always be with us physically. He gave us the scriptures. Look at this. He said, for whatsoever things are written aforetime, were written for our learning. Were written for our admonition. They were written for our inspiration. So everything we see written in scriptures are written for our learning. They are written to guide us. They are written to strengthen, to encourage us. When we face difficult times, when we face good times, we go into the scriptures and we have the word to go on. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that every time we look at scriptures, there is an inspiration. There's something to learn. There's an admonition. It says, for these things are written aforetime for our learning. For our learning. That we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Kalabaya. That we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. Might have hope. So we can go to the word of God and have hope. We can go to the word of God and have encouragement. We can go to the word of God and know what to do. Look at what David says. He says, your testimonies have become my counselors. Kalabaya. We can get into God's word and obtain counsel. There's nothing we'll ever face that the word of God has no coverage for. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing the world throws at us. There's nothing Satan throws at us that the word of God doesn't have word for. Doesn't have a coverage over. You get into God's word, you will find something. Hallelujah. To the comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. So the scriptures bring us comfort. It brings us comfort. You are wondering, my goodness, 5 years has passed. It's as though I've not made much progress. And then you get into the scriptures. You get into the scriptures. You begin to see that there is such a thing as restoration. You begin to see that there is such a thing as time compressed for our sake. You begin to see that God can restore even the wasted years.
the years that the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the caterpillar, come on, I'm not talking this morning, has eaten, there is a restoration. There can be a restoration. What a hope we have. What a hope. Through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. I want you to value the word of God. I want you to know that you always have something to run to. Always, always. Pastor may not be there, but you have something to run to. The Holy Ghost is with you in you. And every time you open that book, your eyes will be open to behold great and wondrous things out of his laws. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That we through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Someone offends you, someone annoys you, and you want to lose your calm, just open the scriptures. On your tab, on your phone, or the hard copy. Just open and begin to read. A comfort will come to you. Hope will come to you. New pictures will come to you. Hallelujah. New possibilities will come to you. No, before long you see yourself smile. Before long you begin to feel inspired. Hallelujah. Say, I love the word of God. All right, go back to Ezekiel 37. We've been talking on prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. Prophetic utterance. And this Sunday and the two Sundays left in the month of September, we will still be talking about prophetic utterance in all the services. Hallelujah. We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. It means the seasons, listen to me, the seasons of our lives change by prophetic utterance. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord brought us forth. In Acts chapter 3 verse 25, it says, for we are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham. And I tell you from that scripture, there are two things there. Number one, we are children of the covenant. Number two, we are children of the prophets. It doesn't mean the prophet gave birth to us biologically, no. But he's saying we are products of their prophetic utterances. That means we didn't just get born again. No. God's prophetic utterance arranged the circumstances, the situations for Jesus to come, die, buried, raised, arrange the circumstances for us to hear that word of salvation and to respond to that word of salvation to be saved. We were brought forth by that prophetic utterance. It says, for you are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham. So we're brought forth. Just like Isaac, we are the children of promise. We are not Ishmael. Meaning the human, we are not products of the flesh. We didn't come because daddy and mommy met and gave birth to us. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. That is Ishmael. Children of the flesh. But we are children of promise. Meaning before time began, God sat in heaven and saw you. So he's not wondering what to do with you. No. He's not wondering. When you understand this, life comes with a purpose. When you know that you are a product of prophecy, you are a person of prophecy, you know that before you came, there were paths set for you to walk in. There are prophetic paths set for you to walk in. And when you collide with Jesus, your eyes are open to see those prophetic paths. You can see those prophetic paths. You can see where to operate. Hallelujah. Is somebody here this morning? See, I'm a person of prophecy. The word of prophecy brought me forth. All right, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. This is God giving us the formula for changing hopeless situations. He's giving us the mechanism for changing hopeless situations. They were very dry. Being bones alone is hopeless. And then to be dry is more hopeless. To be very dry is most hopeless.
But you see, listen to me. There is no such thing as hopeless when God is involved. Absolutely nothing. Go and ask Abraham. Go and ask Sarah. You know, this is why the Bible tells us to meditate on scriptures, to meditate on the word of God. Imagine a 90-year-old woman conceiving. Hi. Without, you know, you don't have technology. Even with the technology, I have not seen it happen yet in science, with hormones injection and all that to reverse menopause. That even can maybe work when people are 50 or 55 or 60. But Sarah was 90. That is menopause times 2. We're told that the average age for menopause is 45. So she was menopause times 2. God is amazing. You know, God loves shows. So sometimes you just wait so that once it shows that, you know that this is God. This is El Shaddai, the all-breasted one. Jehovah El Ephesi. You understand? You know, he just so that there can be Ephesi to the miracle. Is somebody here? Is somebody here? So sometimes he just waits. Let Satan do his worst. When I show up, everybody will know that I show up. And it's with Ephesi. In Nigerian parlance, you know Ephesi. Glory to God. This is God's formula for changing hopeless situations. Lo, they were very dry. Next verse. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, O Lord, thou knowest. Next verse, we're going to verse 8. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, Aya, Mali Kuposa. It's getting serious now. Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, thank you, Holy Spirit. All ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy upon these bones. Bones, according to biology, are supposed to be inanimate. Dry bones don't have life in them. Listen, 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 listen. It's not only living things that hear words. Everything God created has been programmed to hear the spoken word. That means your bank account can hear words. Are you listening? How much more your body? Your body can hear the word of the Lord. How much more your children? They can hear the word of the Lord. They don't need to be present with you for you to talk to them. No child in your house can go wayward. It's not possible. You stand in your room and speak words. Wherever he is, he can hear it. Is somebody here? This is the life we've been given to live. He said, prophesy to these bones. Oh, that means you are saying, if you have to operate by the senses, you think God is insane. Imagine a man standing and talking to bones. But this is alive in the kingdom. This is alive in the kingdom. The Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the best of men, than the wisdom of men. Listen. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, I believe. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to all that are saved, it is the power of God. So to humans, that's the preaching of the gospel now. The Bible is saying that when we preach the gospel, we release the power of God. And those that hear it receive the power of God. But listen, to the natural man, it is foolishness. Pastor, are you saying that I need money right now to pay my house rent, and what I need to do is to hear the gospel? Yes. Oh. He said to them that are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God for the house rent to be paid. It is the power of God for the healing to happen. It is the power of God for that business to move to another level. It is the power of God for that home and marriage to be rearranged. It is the power of God. Listen, God doesn't have any other material apart from his gospel. No other material. He says to the poor, the gospel is being preached. No other material. They call unto him, he sent his word. He healed them. God has no other material. Many Christians are going from pillar to post, acting as though they don't know where the power of God is.
the preaching of the gospel. To them that are lost, it is foolishness. But to them that are saved, it is the power of God. It means as I'm preaching this gospel to you, I'm releasing the power of God. The power of God for supernatural accomplishments. Oh, you saw what happened at GCC. The testimonies are pouring in. Somebody sent us a message from Nairobi, Kenya. That his stream... Hold on. Saturday night or so, Saturday night, he streamed all through in Kenya. And the power of God came upon him. Somebody here. All kinds of testimonies. House rents paid, bodily healing, financial breakthroughs. Is somebody here? A lot. How did we do it? Were we using something? The word. The gospel. Lagavaya. The gospel. The gospel. No, man, some of you or a lot of you were excited. You're under the power. Some of you were laughing. You were saying, "Ah, my life has shifted." You were excited. You knew and knew and knew that something happened to you. I didn't give you any drugs. Did I inject anything to you? There are people who came here depressed and left full of joy. What happened? The gospel. The gospel. This is God's material. For change, for transformation. So we are not here to please men. We are here to help them. Amen. You know, back in school, somebody met me and said, "Why are you always talking to yourself? Why are you always..." I've noticed in this class, you are all... Many, many, many years ago. "Why are you always talking to yourself?" I smiled. I said, "I'm arranging my future. I'm arranging my future." Not everybody that is talking to himself is mad. Imagine you were there in the spirit. And because God is a spirit, you can see him. The only person you see in that valley is Ezekiel. And he standing, "All ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. I will cause muscles, I will cause sinews, I will cause cartilages to come upon you, and you shall be a great army." If you are in the flesh that day, won't you think he's insane? We are not here to please men. We are here to establish and expand the kingdom of God, God's way. Are you listening to me? We are here to live out the word of God. So somebody feels symptoms, he calls the doctor. You feel symptoms, you lay your hands. And somebody says, "Go, say, ah, this, you die, you better go and..." No. You tell the person, the word of God is medicine. And I'm training myself. You know, when you are starting, you can confess, and then it's like overwhelms you. They take you to the hospital. Don't worry. Next time, do it again. Keep hearing God's word. I'm serious. You know what you're doing? You are building your faith. There's such a thing as practicing divinity. And you get better with practice. You know that already. Didn't you hear what the Bible says in Hebrews? He said, for strong meat belongs to them who are foolish. He said, those who by reason of use, who by reason of practice, Kalabaya, have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. To discern. They have their senses exercised. To discern. We practice divinity. If God says we have eternal life in us, we practice it. We practice that life. We practice it with sickness and disease. We practice it with lack and poverty. So you will stand and call money. And it comes. Are you listening to me? You will stand and speak to the products to be sold. Hallelujah. This is God's accredited way of living. We are a people of prophecy. Never condescend to the level of humans, to the level of natural men in handling life situations. No, don't condescend. He says, "I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking. Bones began to come to bones.
And the Lord spoke to him again. Prophesy to the winds. Imagine standing and talking to the winds. That means we can talk to hurricanes, Calabaya. We can talk to tsunamis. Oh, Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the wind. The wind on the sea is there in scriptures. He spoke. In fact, he was sleeping at the rear. And the disciples came, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care that we perish? Accusing Jesus that he didn't care. This is what many Christians are doing today. Lord, don't you care about me? Can't you see I'm sinking? You don't even care? No, use the word. When Jesus came, what did he tell you? He said, where is your faith? Kaya baya. That means he expected them to have done something. He expected them to have done something. Not meeting him and saying, Master, don't you care that we perish? So every time you are going to God and saying, oh God, don't you care that I've been serving you all these years? He expects you to do something. Lord, I've been serving you. See, my son is wayward. No, he expects you to do something. Lord, I've been serving you. I don't even have a house to live in. He expects you to do something. Jesus reprimanded their unbelief. He says, where is your faith? And what did he do? The Bible says he stretches out. He said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. A great calm. Suddenly the wind was dissolved. The disciple says, what type of man is this? What manner of man is this? Brothers and sisters, we are that type of men. Because we are Christ-like. We talk to the winds. We talk to somebody here this morning. We talk to the waters. They said, what type of man is this? We are that type of men and women. We talk to both animate and inanimate things. And they obey us. They hear us. They hear us. He spoke to the winds and the winds heard him. Spoke to the four winds. His old winds come upon these people, breathe upon them, that they shall live. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. What is prophecy? We define. What do you define prophecy as again? We say declaring the plan, the purposes, and the wisdom of God, a place for a person. With power, commanding compliance on the earth. Alright, it also means to speak the wisdom of God for a situation. Do you know everywhere you are, there are angels with you? But those angels will only act when you speak. That's the truth. Largely. When you speak. And sometimes you don't even need to speak in English. Your speaking in tongues can cause a response. Your speaking in tongues can cause a response. You just start speaking in tongues. Listen, never be afraid when it looks like all hell is breaking loose. Whether physically, situationally, never be afraid. You open your mouth and speak. Open your mouth and speak. And don't speak small, speak loud. You raise your voice and speak. Raise your voice and roar. Raise your voice and roar. The Bible says the lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is covered against it, he shall not be abased by their voice. No intimidation. No intimidation. Never let life intimidate you. Open your mouth and talk. You stir yourself. By worship, by speaking in tongues and start talking. And start talking. Speak the words that God has given you. Speak them. Speak them until you feel the anointing of God's Spirit. Then you continue speaking. This is the power that has been given to control the direction of our lives. Is somebody here? Have you noticed that all through scriptures, every time the Spirit of God comes upon people, they prophesy? All through scriptures, there was verbal activity. Even in the New Testament, they prophesied and spoke in tongues every time. You know why? The Spirit of God cannot carry out anything in your life or through your life on earth without moving your mouth to speak. This is why from the Old Testament, you see the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they began to speak. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they began to prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they began to sing. And if you read the thing they sang, they were prophetic singing. If somebody listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them and what followed was prophetic utterance. Why? The verbal gifts or the vocal gifts. Now, when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there were listed 9 gifts there, categorized into 3. We have the power gift, which is the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of workings of miracles. We have the vision gifts, or the seeing gift, the gift that sees something, which is the gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirit. Then we have the vocal gift, the gift that says something. I'm going somewhere. And that's the gift of tongues, diverse tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. You will notice all through scriptures that the vocal gifts, chief among which is the gift of prophecy, opens the door for the supernatural. Yes, I think I read that Joel 2:28-31. It started by the vocal gift. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. What happens? Your sons and your child will prophesy. 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 They will speak. When it comes, they will speak. And the moment they begin to speak, they will open the door for the flow of the supernatural. They will open the door for the flow of the vision gift. That means their eyes will be open to see. Can you see? He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And then when you read down to verse 30, it's like talking about signs and wonders in the heavens above. Signs in the heavens, wonders on the earth, fire, smoke, pillars of smoke, blood fire, pillars of smoke, wondrous things, right? What you see the pattern. What am I saying? You release the supernatural in your life through the prophetic utterance by speaking forth the word of God under the anointing. He can't do nothing. Give me Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. Let me show you something quickly. Numbers 11:25. God told Moses, you know, the people complained to him that they wanted to eat meat. The Bible says they stood. Oh dear Lord Jesus. Every man stood at the door. Oh God. Imagine grown up men crying, not singing now, crying for meat. The children of Israel. You now understand what God had to deal with. They stood in front of the altar and they were crying. They said, oh, the onions and the garlics in Egypt. The cucumbers in Egypt. Crying, men crying for meat. Moses was angry. You know what God said? No, I want you to notice something there. Malagaba. When you get home, you can read the whole of the 11th chapter. The Lord told Moses, I will feed them. Moses said, what? Lord, even if we kill all the cattle, all the beasts, will these people be fed? The Lord told him, don't worry, you don't need to do that. He said, can the Lord not furnish a table in the wilderness? Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter where you are. The Lord can furnish a table in the wilderness. Your location is not against you. Your background, the family you came from is not against you. Trust in the ability of God. That's why I told you that when we go to scriptures, he said that we through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see certain things and you know that your life has to go in a particular direction. Somebody here. He says, can the Lord not furnish a table in the wilderness? There are no impossibilities with God. None. Moses was thinking about killing all them cattle to feed the people. But not with God. God always has 1,000,000,000,001 ways of getting that thing across to you. He said, Moses, I don't need to kill all the beasts. I can furnish a table in the wilderness. But here's the point. Look at his method. There had to be a partnership. Maybe you never saw it. There had to be a partnership. Yes, God spoke that I will supply the meat that they are crying for. They will eat until it falls out of their mouths. Malakapaya. But watch this. There was a partnership between God and the people and his people in bringing that to come to pass. Go to verse 25. Can you see this? And the Lord, God told Moses, he said, bring 70 elders, right? You remember the story? I'll take up the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them, so that they can share the burden with you. It's not another spirit from heaven. The spirit that was upon Moses. He says, I'll take it and put upon you. All right, look at this. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto Moses and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when this Maligibaya, that when oh my goodness, is somebody seeing this? That when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. I'm going to follow this. They prophesied and did not cease. Next verse. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. And there were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. They prophesied in the camp. Notice what I told you earlier, that whenever the spirit of the Lord comes upon the people, you saw that in Joel 2 that I quoted, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit, what happens? Prophesy. And it's happening here again. Are you seeing it? Prophesy. And they prophesied in the camp. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Next verse. Meaning, while they prophesy in the camp, they should be stopped. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses forbids them. Can you see that? So they thought prophecy was supposed to be just in the tabernacle. Oh, but they didn't know what God was after. Put up the next verse. Look at the mindset of Moses. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God, meaning I pray God that all of the lost people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. Brothers and sisters, this prayer was answered in the New Testament. This prayer was answered in the New Testament. He says, I pray. He said, I would that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them. So the spirit of the Lord coming upon people wasn't just meant for a few, for the 70. That's what Moses was saying. That is just because of the limitation of the dispensation. That is just on me and these 70. But I pray that God will put his spirit. God did that. Next verse. Next verse. 30 now. And Moses got him unto the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Verse 31. Hayakapa. Don't forget that they were prophesying. You remember Ezekiel prophesied to the winds. Remember, the Bible says they prophesied and did not cease. What I'm telling you, that the wind, Malakapaya, the wind that brought what they need came on the wings of prophecy. According to scriptures, God doesn't do anything on earth without a partnership. He needed to mobilize the winds. He put his spirit upon it. They began to prophesy without ceasing. Look at the next thing that happened. And there went forth a wind from the Lord to meet their needs. Brothers and sisters, do you have a need? Is there something you want to happen? Or there is something you don't want to happen? Oh, is somebody here? Is there a need? Is there a supply required? This is the answer. Don't go around gisting and talking away. I've taught you people about not gisting burdens away. When you are burdened and you know you are uncomfortable, you are, what's the word? You are dissatisfied. That, listen, every time you have that sense of dissatisfaction, that is the Spirit of God moving on you to birth something. Every time, go to the gym. If you are Jesus here, you know what the gym is. That is the Spirit of God attempting to birth something to you. Don't eat it away. Don't gist it away. In the same vein, there's a need. There's something you want to happen. You understand that English? You want something to happen. Or you don't want something to happen. Either which way. Pray and prophesy. You spend time prophesying until the wind is strong. Aya. Until the wind is strong. Oh, I wish you guys are hearing me this morning. Are you following? You prophesy until the wind is strong. You submit a proposal for a contract and they are doing you like this. You know what to do. Go to your room. You've made all the calls. They have no help. Don't act like you are helpless. You have the Holy Ghost. You have God with you. Are you listening to me? You have the arsenal of heaven. You have the resources of heaven. Believers must rise to use what they have. We must rise to use what we have. Thank God for human connections, but they can fail. And when they fail, you must know that they are not your source. You must know that you have a resource within. Oh my goodness. You must know that you have help. You must know that you have the mechanism that you can use to turn the situation to your favor. You must know. As they prophesied, the wind came from the Lord. And blew quails, malagabayadabaya, supply of meat. Meaning they didn't go to hunt the quails. The wind brought them. I told you. This is why we talk for a living. Oh my goodness. Lagabaya kabaya. Let me move this. You know, we talk about the three eternal natures of God. The three attributes of God. That we are taught. Omnipresence, omniscient, omnipotent. How many of you remember that? The omnipotence of God is that God is all powerful. And that is demonstrated a little bit by the power gifts. The omniscient of God, that God is all-knowing, is demonstrated a little by the visionary gifts. Word of knowledge, word of... Is it making sense? Is somebody listening to me? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit, the omniscience of God. That's just the measure of the omniscience of God. That through word of knowledge, you can know the things in the past, you are not there. The things in the present, you are not there. Through word of wisdom, you can know the things in the future and the counsel to give. Do you understand? And the future hasn't come yet. Through discerning of spirit, you can see into the realm of the spirit. That's the omniscience, a measure of the omniscience of God. So the power gift is a measure of the omnipotence of God. Can you see how scriptures are amazing? The vision gift, a measure of the omniscient of God. The vocal gift, malakapa, they are a measure of the omnipresence of God. Oh my goodness. That means God is everywhere. Oh, that means true malebayakaya. God is everywhere in time and space. That means through the prophetic utterance, you can go into places that your feet has not gone. You can go into years that have not come yet. Do you understand? So you are here, you are talking, and your word has effect in London. You remember Ms. Ekwedike's sister? She was in the U.S. when we prayed there for her to conceive. And she conceived and gave birth to twins. How? Omnipresent. You speak, and the words cannot be limited by time, space, and matter. Are you listening to me? By time, space, and matter. You speak, and it is so. You speak, the impact is felt in the days to come, in the places away from where you are. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You pray and prophesy. That's what you do. You pray and prophesy. You pray and prophesy, especially praying in tongues, so that you can energize the words. Listen, prophecy is not just speaking, because you are already speaking. So prophecy is not just mere speaking. It is speaking under the anointing of God's Spirit. Or, better put, it is speaking energized words. It is speaking words that have been kinetized. Is somebody listening to me? Words with divine energy. Words that are wrapped with omnipotence. Words of power. Ezekiel didn't just speak the words that came to his head. He says, I prophesy as I was commanded. I prophesy as
I was commanded. So, you know, it's okay, Pastor, that means I have to hear commandment from God. No. You have to hear words quicken in your spirit. And then you speak forth those words under the anointing of God's Spirit. So prayer helps you. Prayer helps you to lay hold on the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, is it praying always, right? Is it taking, from verse 17, is it taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. The Bible was not divided into chapters and verses. So you can see how it reads into it. So it means the way we take, somebody's about to get this. The way we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema word, is in prayer. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you lay hold on this. Did you get that? You lay hold. Have you noticed that when you pray, when you spend time praying in other tongues, words well up on your insides. Words are activated. The word of God becomes living in your spirit. What is happening? Through prayer, you are taking hold of the sword of the Spirit. And when you begin to speak it, you are using the sword. Can I get an amen? Amen. You will never be stranded again. Amen. I say you'll never be stranded again. Amen. You'll never be stranded again. Amen. Practice what I'm teaching. Practice it. Practice it. Don't live as though you don't have help. Don't act as though you are helpless. You are not without help. Is it direction you need? You are not without help. You start talking. You talk and talk until the world starts talking back to you. Jesus said, I am the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So you begin to declare, I too am the light of the world. Or at least you follow Jesus. So he said, I do not walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I do not walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I do not walk in darkness. I have the light of life. Do you know the prophetic word brings us direction? You know, last week, the other week I told you about the four levels of the prophetic utterance. The sure word of prophecy in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, we are not... he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherewith you do well to hold unto, as unto a light that shines in the darkness, until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. Can you see? The word is light. It gives direction. The prophetic word gives direction. It gives direction. You hold on to it. So how you declare the word until light shines. You just know what to do. You hear the voice of God. You hear the promptings in your heart. Suddenly the word is made alive to you. We call it prophetic breath of scriptures. You know that you know that you know that this is addressed to you. This is talking about. There is no need to be confused as a Christian. There's no need to be helpless as a Christian. There's no need to be stranded as a Christian. You see, I refuse to be helpless. I refuse to be stranded. I refuse to act as though I don't have help. No! I'm helped of God. Helped of God. Helped of God. Don't go the human way. Even if it's to take a day or two out. Take it out. Although things are not working, take a day or two out. Go somewhere, pray in the Holy Ghost and prophesy. In fact, even if things have not changed on the outside yet, you will feel better. Trust me. At least you feel better. Are you here? Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands toward heaven and bless the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mando zasha pole kubra sushte paranida. Just speak in tongues a little bit. For thou, Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. For thou, O Lord, for thou. Out of shield for me.
lift your hands up now, oh Lord.
Lord, now, oh Lord,
our
shield for me.
My glory,
my glory,
my glory,
one more time.
Let me prophesy that one more time.
Oh, thank you for lifting me.
Thank you.
You lifted me out of the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock to stand. My hand, for the last time. Oh, thank you for lifting me. Thank you for lifting God. I thank you for lifting.
Just open your mouth and speak in the spirit, and then use words in your understanding. Speak forth, speak forth, speak forth. Malakapoto Soshata Kebroda Kaposa. The Lord is my light, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, even my foes, came up, they cursed me to eat of my flesh. They stumbled and they fell. They stumbled and they fell. But the Lord is the light of my countenance. The Lord is my glory. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my joy. Jehovah is my ability. Jehovah is my glory. Sagabaladebos. I will never be put to shame. I will never be defeated. No, I will never be ashamed. I will never be confounded. My life is full of His glory. I'm going to open your mouth and speak from the word of the Lord concerning your life, concerning your family. That is what prophecy is. Sagabalakas Zele Baladabom Zeshepatalia Tepa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, listen to me. I told you 2 Sundays ago that all through this month, learn to prophesy. In prophecy, you know what you're doing? You are charting your course. You are charting your course. You are making every crooked path straight. That's what you're doing. You wake up in the morning and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am your anointed. Whose right hand you are holding? You have subdued nations before me. You have gone before me and you are making every crooked path straight. You are prophesying. There is no crookedness in my path. Mande Mosiah. Let's close this service. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we walk in the light of this word. In Jesus' mighty name.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.